It's a Fan Drive Time, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt, and just a couple of months removed from being in a Stanley Cup final, Marc Bergevin summarily dismissed as a general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. In comes Jeff Gorton, and he will work to find the next bilingual GM, it seems, of the Montreal Canadiens. Let's talk to Renaud Lavoie of TVA Sports, who joins us online right now. How's it going, Ren?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what do you make of the timing here, right? Like, I don't know if necessarily there's a right way to do this, but it seems in a way ham-handed when you got people resigning in the middle of a game. Like, what do you make of the timing?
Well, that's, the problem is, it's a great question because I think the timing is the timing because of, the way the Canadiens were playing. I don't think it's necessarily about the standing or losing game. It's more about the way they were losing games, the effort level really low. So I think that Jeff Molson felt that he needed to make a change. But that change, to be honest with you, should have been made a long time ago when it was crystal clear that there was no way for the Canadiens to re-sign Marc Bergevin for an extension with the amount of money that was put on the table. So I think at the time, you know that you're going to fire him during the season. And the real problem that I have with that is when you don't know what's going to happen with your GM in a market like Montreal, the real question that the players are going to ask is, who's the real boss here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the way they played. They didn't know who not because Marc Bergevin was not managing the team, but and Marc was a real pro. He was still trying to find the solutions. But, you know, it is players when they don't really know. They know that they're accountable, but they don't know exactly to who. That's a problem. That's for sure.
So, Ren, okay, let's start. Ben, there's a lot of elements to this, but let's start with Gorton. Is he so? Of all the hockey people, you know, again, when you change, you try and fill a job like this in the middle of a season, it limits the number of people who are available to you. But is he the guy? Is this ownership handing them the keys and saying, okay, you are the guy. We believe you're the best guy on earth to right the ship here.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I talked to a few people in the organization, in management, and a couple of times I've heard he's an all-star. That's the way they see him. And they're really happy to have him right now with the Montreal Canadiens. So, yeah, Jeff Gorton has been in hockey for like 27 years or something like that, working for a few teams, especially for the New York Rangers, as everybody remember. So he's well-known around the league. He's well-respected. And now he's coming here in Montreal. To be honest with you, when Stan Bowman was fired, I expect him to be with the Blackhawks. And I'm talking about Jeff Gorton here. Mm-hmm. They would hire him real quick. It didn't happen. I understand why. They want to make sure that the Kyle Beach story is going to be out. Of the day to day, and the new GM is going to come in with a quote-unquote fresh start, if I can put it this way. So I understand why the Blackhawks don't want to make a move right now. They're taking their time. It's all right. But to have a guy like him available and not picking him or signing him was a little surprising, to be honest with you, especially for the Blackhawks. So I think that Jeff Molson decided to take advantage of that, and that's why he's now with the Canadiens.
Yeah, so his Gordon's title is Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations, and he is acting as the general manager right now, but he will be charged with hiring a general manager and a bilingual general manager, I assume. Ren, but Jeff Gorton's going to be making the hockey decisions, I imagine. Like, will that impact who's open to taking that role?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, to be honest with you. And that's the reality right now here, because whoever is going to come in, that person doesn't have the experience, I believe, of a guy like like Jeff Gorton. So let's say Mathieu Darche, who played for the Canadiens, working as an assistant GM for the Tampa Bay Lightning, has been working for the Lightning for the last two seasons. And he managing, I know he managed a lot of people too, because he was working here for an international company as a manager. After he finished his career as a hockey player. So managing is not an issue. But the experience level in the NHL, obviously, it's not close to Jeff Gorton. You have a guy like Daniel Briere working the East Coast franchise of the Flyers and in player development of the Flyers. Got some experience too, but he obviously he's not close to the experience that Jeff Gorton has. So you look at this situation right now, and you have to believe that Jeff Gorton is going to be the one making the final decision. What I'm told by the Canadians is the final decision is going to be made by Jeff Molson when that decision has to be made. Listen, there's a lot of this day-to-day decision that I'm pretty sure that Jeff Molson is not I'm not going to say aware, but he shouldn't be aware of everything, right? Now, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if some candidates are going to say, you know what, I'm going to pull out because I don't see myself as a guy who's going to, you know, just be here to talk to the media because I'm French speaking. I know the Canadians are pushing to say that's not going to be the case, that, you know, they'll be equal, but that's not the way life works. That's, you know, somebody told me, well, in a couple, you can't say that's the way life works. In a couple, you know, when you're at home with kids, the parents are making decisions. Yeah, but I said, this is not family. This is a hockey team. This is a pro sports team. Somebody needs to say, this is what exactly is going to happen. Somebody needs to sign on the decisions. Somebody needs to be accountable. And so I wonder, you know what? I think we need to look at it and say, let's give the Canadians a chance here. They're taking a road that is unusual. It's okay. It's their business. But obviously, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot of people asking questions right now, and there's a lot of question marks. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't believe I'm the only one, but I think the proof's going to be in the pudding, right?
Well, I just think, you know, it's from a small distance here, but like Jeff Molson's not going to make the day-to-day decisions about running the hockey team. And the general, like what it appears is that the person running the Montreal Canadiens hockey team doesn't speak French. And that there's and many hoops are being jumped through to try and make it appear that somehow there's some kind of a collaborative thing here, but it's not. It's like that has changed, and that is, you know, it's something that's been discussed, Ren, forever and ever and ever, right? You know, could you do it? Well, they've done it.
Yeah, totally. And listen, something that I mentioned today. Let's say that Jeff Gorton was French speaking, they would have only hired one person.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? 100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. So that's why I'm a little surprised by the direction. I'm not surprised that Jeff Gorton signed with the Canadiens, because I believe that he's the best man available if you want to replace Marc Bergevin. But let's put it this way. Let's say you have hired a president of hockey ops, Stéphane Quintal. Let me put Stéphane Quintal, who's working for the NHL right now, played for the Montreal Canadiens, doesn't know exactly what to do as a GM because he's never been an assistant GM in the league, but he's got a lot of knowledge about the game, really close to Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. Knows the ins and outs in the league, and obviously he's got a business side that's really important. So let's say he's coming in, and he's hiring Jeff Gorton. Now we know that the GM is Jeff Gorton, and we know that Stéphane Quintal will have to speak a little more Then Brendan Shanahan is speaking to the media in Toronto. But so Stefan will be a little more available to us. But that's part of the job. He speaks French. Mm-hmm. He's going to be available. I think people would have understand easily that decision. Look, I'm Stefan Quintal. I'm hiring Jeff Gorton. And by the way, I believe that, you know, that Jeff Gorton is really well respected by a guy like Stefan Quintal too. So that would have been a surprise. People would have said, well, it's a little sad that the GM is not speaking French, but at the same time, you're hiring a French speaking Montreal Canadian ex-player Stefan Quintal. I think it would have been easy to understand that decision. Right now, you have a next GM in the league being a VP of hockey ops, hiring a guy won't have not even close the experience that he has. Mm-hmm. I mean, my DNA is maybe I'm totally wrong and I don't understand the situation, but I'm pretty sure for fans must be too. It must be really difficult to understand what's going on here.
Well, help me understand the feeling behind having the bilingual general manager that we understand is not going to be the guy making the final decisions, will be part of the decision-making process, but will be the man that's standing out front. And why this organization feels like it would alienate its fan base if it didn't do that, as opposed to put Jeff Gorton up with maybe a translator or something. Like, do they want the fans to believe that the general manager who will be French speaking is more involved than he will eventually be? Or is it just an optics thing? Like, help me understand this one, because it seems to me, if I was a hockey fan in Montreal and was a fan of the Montreal Canadiens, I wouldn't necessarily care what language my general manager spoke as long as he created a winning hockey club. But of course, I'm an Anglophone and I'm from Ontario.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I totally understand what you're saying. And you know what? It makes sense, okay? But the thing is, here in Montreal and in Quebec, the province, it's different. You know, the Montreal Canadiens, let's put it this way, and no disrespect, but that's the only thing that we have, okay? If you look at pro sports in Quebec, I mean, the Expos are gone. The Alouettes, they're not even close to what they were. The CFL is not even close to what it was. The football club, the soccer team here, I mean, it's close to a gong show. I mean, we don't have a lot. We don't have the Blue Jays. We don't have the Bills playing close to Toronto. So we don't have the Raptors. So here, it's a religion. There's no other way to put it, guys. And the reason why there's going to be probably 19,000 people tonight with two of the worst teams in the NHL playing each other is because it's a religion, okay? And you have to attend church. That's why there'll be some people in the stands. So what people are asking in return is, when your community, you're talking to us, you're going to do it in French. You can, if you want to do it in English too, we don't have any issue. But the reality is, it needs to be in French because we are French Canadian. Like it or not, that's the reality of that religion here in Montreal. So I don't think it's going to change soon because I've been asked off the record by the Canadians if it's a possibility that the GM can't speak French. And I said, well, if you look at the number of candidates available speaking French, I think that you can make a good pick. Like, there is some good people available right now. But it's okay. Jeff Gorton is really good too, but he doesn't have the title. And that's going to be, at one point, it's going to be something that's going to be addressed. I don't know in how many years, but we all know. It's kind of, I can write through that movie right now. And if things are going south again, you know, we all know what's going to happen. If things are going well, obviously when things are going well, there's no issues. Mm-hmm. So, but fans want French people, French Canadian, talking to them, mm-hmm. and you need to respect that. And you know what? Jeff Molson is not stupid. There's still 19,000 people going to games when we all know, we all knew in October that that team was not in, a playoff team. Can you imagine? And there's still some people in the stands.
What is it, Ren? What's this mean for Dom Ducharme? I'm normally a coach in this situation would be on the thinnest of ice, and obviously the team is really bad. I don't know. Like, how many years are left in Claude's deal? They're still paying Claude this year, right?
Right now, yeah, this season, $5 million U.S., good money.
Yeah.
And Dominic is making around 1.7, I think, Canadian. He's going to finish the season. There's no doubt about that. But Jeff Gorton and the new GM will have to make a decision after what needs to be done. The only good thing here is now, I expect the Canadiens to be a good team tonight. Mm. Not because they weren't on Saturday. They played a good game in Pittsburgh. But I expect them to have a different vibe. Why? Because suddenly they're accountable. Suddenly there's a new sheriff in town. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, they want to make sure that, hey, I'm still good. I still want to play here. Or not, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe some are going to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to play that. You know, if you want to trade me, be my guest. I'm open to it. And I'm going to show you why. I'm not that good. But anyhow, I think that Dominic is still needs to prove a lot to this organization, even if, he went to the Stanley Cup final. Really a tough situation for him because Carey Price is not there. Shea Weber is not there. There's been tons of injuries. It's not fair to talk about Dominic Ducharme and say, you know what, he's on thin ice, like you mentioned, but that's the reality, and he knows it. So, I mean, he'll step up. He'll try to find a way again, and we'll see how it's going to turn out.
Ren, I know we say this every time, but it's so true. Never a dull moment in Montreal, especially this season.
Crazy, huh? Crazy. You know what? I wonder. You think that you've seen everything?
Yeah.
And you're not even close.
No. Oh, okay. I wonder what's next then. Thanks for this, Ren.
Thanks, Ren.
Have a good one.
Yeah,
take
you
care.
Too. Renaud Lavoie. TVA Sports.
And what he's talking about, again, I think it's alien for people who have not, are not of the culture. And Lord knows, I've covered that team a ton over the years. And, from a distance, you'd say, well, hang on a second. Why don't you just get the best GM possible or the best coach possible and, hire a translator? Because, if spend some time there and kind of understand where this team is, where it fits culturally, it's different, And no, that's just not an option. You cannot do that.
I know.
And the way that this has been so inelegantly done, I would say Jeff Molson's a smart dude.
Yeah.
But I think what Ren said there is true, that if you kind of just flip-flop this and you brought in, if Stephane Quintal is your, whatever, vice president of hockey operations, and then he hires an Anglo general manager and that's, maybe you don't get Gorton if you do it that way. Mm-hmm. That probably you could sell that because the guy at the top would be, the equivalent of the Brendan Shanahan figure here in Toronto would be a Francophone. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could sell it that way, but you can't, if you bring in a Francophone quote unquote general manager under an Anglophone and pretend that this is some kind of a power sharing arrangement,
Well, I know
no one's gonna buy that.
Well, that's it. That's if I'm a fan and I am a person that wants to be spoken to in French and I want to understand what's happening with my organization and I only speak French or I prefer to hear French. I don't see the difference between just a figurehead person and the translator. But that's why I'm trying to understand this because I don't think anybody who's paying attention to what's happened here can think whoever is hired, whether it is Darche or whoever, that they have any power, not any power at all, but we know who's running the ship here. And I almost feel like I'm trying to be fooled if I'm that fan of that team.
Yeah, I think what's happened, and again, is that they just hired the guy they wanted to hire, right? Mm-hmm. That they obviously, he's, and as Ren laid out there, a guy who's going to get a job somewhere in the league and is so they get this opportunity to hire somebody who they might not otherwise get. I suspect, and again, that they would have had to give him this title in order to get him and make him the guy at the top of the operation. And now they're trying to kind of backfill to figure out, how can we sell this? And that's why Jeff Molson's up there saying, well, all the decisions, I'm the guy where the buck stops. And of course, he's, you know, he's of the culture, and he's, and but no one's going to buy that, right?
Like, so, like, I just, I know this all just seems like window dressing. Like, if you're a, and I don't want this to sound like, like, this, you're stupid if you believe, but like, if you're paying attention, if you're smart about this, you know what's happening, and you know you're being pandered to.
Well, it's not going to fly. And the thing is, if they win the Stanley Cup 2 years from now, maybe it'll be fine.
Right.
But it's, I would say maybe. No, like, no, but you don't understand how this will.
No, I don't. That's why I'm trying to understand.
No, and it's different. And it's not, there is no equivalent in sport. Like, the, you know, there's equivalents, you know, you could maybe kind of stretch and think about soccer teams and communities in the UK or somewhere where, you know, like when the Americans come in and
buy then you
Manchester.
Win.
But they still might resent and hate the guys who are there, right? Like, that's entirely, I mean, that's the closest thing, but. You know, there's a few hundred years of history here. Mm-hmm. And like I saw, I've probably talked about this before. You know, Pat Burns, it was a guy, you know, it was a Quebecois. Like he was an Anglo-Quebecer who taught himself to speak French. He was a cop on the beat. He spoke kind of cop French. And they used to crucify him. Like the French media there made fun of the way he pronounced his pronunciation, of the way he's his, you know, and you say, well, why would they do that? He was, you know, he's from the place, he's trying his best, he's a good coach, everybody likes him as a coach, but that would be ignoring, again, several hundred years of history and the way the Canadians
merge
into kind of identity.
But Stephen, that's even going beyond what I'm talking about, because that is honestly mean-spirited.
Oh, it was. Oh, it was absolutely mean-spirited.
And why would you lean into that? Unless you think it's actually going to have an impact on your bottom line, I suppose, and you're going to alienate, like you're going to actually destroy your franchise, I suppose. But even then, like,
because you're making a larger point, right? And it's about, it's not just about hockey. And you are seeing this as, you know, kind of, you know, a residue of kind of colonialism or however you want to phrase it, right? It's the history of our country that kind of creeps in here. And the folks writing that stuff weren't worried about that night's game. They were worried about bigger stuff.
Right.
So it creeps into any conversation around the Montreal Canadiens. So you'll eventually get here, right? You'll eventually get to this place. And they've kind of walked into it. And, you know, it's a mess, right? Like, it's a total mess. And I don't know why they couldn't come to an agreement with Bergevin in the offseason. Like, you know, it sounds like there was an offer made, but it wasn't enough money. And, you know, maybe they wanted to move on. And, you know, then they get to the Stanley Cup final. And how can you move on after you get to the final? But, like, Mark Bergevin, in a lot of ways, was the perfect guy, right? You know, it hasn't panned out, but he was the perfect guy. And, you know, because he's a guy well-respected in the league, obviously qualified for that job, and also can handle the cultural and linguistic politics. But man, like it's a tough spot. It is a tough spot it's a tough spot for coaches. It's a tough spot for GMs. It's a tough spot for the owner. And I, you know, again, I know Jeff Molson wants to win, but this will not just go away.
Well, that's it. Like, so yeah, you will not be able to placate these fans by hiring a Francophone GM, is your opinion.
No, because it's if you and I can see through it, smarter people than us can see through it, right? People who are there waiting to see through it are going to see through it. They, like, you sit back and, you know, are prepared to judge, and like you don't have to be the brightest light in the world to say, hang on a second, I think what they're telling us is not entirely true here, and you know they've just hired the first unilingual Anglo in history to run the Montreal Canadiens, the thing that you could not do. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, I don't think it kind of, I think what happens on the ice the next little while is not going to matter all that much.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and I feel like we're not done talking to Renaud Lavoie.
he brings us stories and drama, and it's, you know, it's weird. Like the hockey team in town here is kind of boring. They're really good, 12-2 in November. No great cultural linguistic controversies around them. You know, no one's talking about. No one's even going to get fired.
Because it's not a fair comparison. And I know, and I'm trying to tap into. And you're right. Yeah, the colonialism, like the history of that province and this country, it's all tied in there. But I just think about
it's grievances, man. And like,
I know,
like the country almost fell apart a couple of times, right? So this stuff runs as deep as it can possibly run, and it's not just about hockey.
Yeah, I know. How old a Montrealer do you have to be to really, you know, think of the residue of that, like, impacting you? I just think of, if I was a Leaf fan, I wouldn't care. Like, Leaf fans don't care what, like, you can be mute. and be the general manager, if you're just writing down your trades on a piece of paper and exchanging it with the other GM, and you can't speak at all.
It's theoretically true.
And you win a Stanley Cup, nobody's going
to
care.
Yeah, like, it's theoretically true, yes. You know, Lou didn't talk that much.
No.
Yes, it's theoretically true. But this is not, that is not anywhere.
That's not
Toronto.
I know.
And one of the commandments has just been broken, and we'll see. I'll tell you, like, I guarantee you, Jeff Molson is there was a lot of sweat over this decision and how they were going to do it. And somebody was saying, you know, and people saying, this is the best hockey guy out there. He's available. It's a miracle he's not hired somewhere else. You got a chance to snap him up in the middle of the season. But
Steven, and there's also this story that just came out. Our producer, Mike Gentile, sent it to me in the middle of our conversation. The Montreal Gazette is reporting that Gary Bettman played a role in the hiring of Gorton.
Oh, my.
That Jeff Molson and Gary Bettman had conversations, and there was...
Yeah, Gary's has done that a few times, but I'm not sure if Gary's, how attuned he is to the cultural and political sensitivities that he's just walked into here. If he said, don't worry, Jeff, no one will notice, he was wrong.
Yes, he was. Anyways, yeah, we're not done with that story, not by a long shot. When we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who knows Kevin Gausman very well, managed him for a number of years. Buck Showalter, MLB Network analyst and former Major League manager, three-time manager of the year, joins us next. The Fan Drive Time continues. Ben Annis, Stephen Braun, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Fan Drive Time, Ben Annis and Stephen Braun, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And we're going to talk about this a little later on, and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit with our next guest, but there is a report now that as part of the ongoing discussion between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, that there has already been a format put forth as far as the new playoff rules. We call for 14 teams, so 7 in each league. The team with the best record in each league gets a first-round bye, and then the 3 division winners get to pick who their first-round opponents are out of the wild-card teams, and then there's, of course, 2 wild-card teams that wouldn't be selected. They would play each other. But that is an interesting little piece of information. Yeah.
Yeah, that's would add some intrigue, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be a show I would watch.
Yeah, me too.
All right, let's talk to former Major League manager. In fact, 3-time Manager of the Year. MLB Network analyst Buck Showalter, kind enough to join us online. How's it going, Buck?
Hey, fellas. How are we doing up there?
Doing very well. Blue Jays have themselves a Kevin Gausman for the next half decade. Somebody you know well. You saw him enter the major leagues as a rookie and a couple of good years with him in Baltimore. What was your experience? What was your experience like with Kevin? And what should Blue Jays fans expect from Kevin the person?
Well, first of all, Kevin's a fine young man. He comes from a great family. His wife, just good people. And you're going to be able to trust that part of it. He just, he cares about the weight his words carry and his teammates and the fans. And, I've known Kevin since his days at LSU. And he was from, I believe, Colorado and made his way down to LSU and then was drafted by the Orioles. We drafted him in the first round and, he had a quick rise through the ranks with that type of arm, and they made a good addition. You'll like Kevin, and he'll fit. You know, Kevin doesn't go somewhere where he doesn't feel comfortable. And a lot of people are a little fearful of the American League East. Kevin, competed very well in it and never gave in to the competition. He likes it, and he got a good one there.
Bucky, that's the splitter he throws. Obviously, his out pitch, and did he come to the big leagues with that pitch?
Well, it's all about the definition. Some people call it a splitter. Some people call it a changeup. Some people, there's a lot of things. First of all, let me say that I haven't been around him for a couple of years, so I don't know what may have transpired since then. Maybe he's got a different grip, some other things. But, Kevin's always been, a two-pitch guy with a a breaking ball, a work in progress, and probably somewhere along the line, someone's helped him tap that. And, you know, Kevin gets all the credit, but he's always been that guy that's had the arm and the stuff to compete at the level he did the last year or so. And,
nope, did we lose you, Buck? Oh, there you are. We got you,
no,
Buck?
I got you.
Yeah.
But he wants it a lot, and that's what I like about Kev. He's got a lot of want to.
Yeah, and it hasn't been a straight line for him, right, as a fourth overall selection. And yeah, he had some good years with you, but then some down years, and then, you know, ends up being waived at one point and then signs the deal with San Francisco and then takes the qualifying offer and now is a $100 million man as a 30-year-old. Is that just typical, you know, pitcher stuff that sometimes it takes a while for things to click for somebody with such great promise?
Well, you know, how you handle adversity and failure, so to speak, you know, on Kevin's level of acceptance. You know, the waiver thing I wouldn't put much stock in because that was more of a contractual thing and hoping somebody would do this. And every organization's in a different spot. So, but, you know,
I
was fearful of pitching against good competition. And I like the way he competes. He's a good athlete. He takes good care of himself. He's got a good delivery, which keeps him healthy for the most part. And I think he's in the prime of his career. I think he's figured a lot of things out mentally and emotionally, and he knows who he is, and he knows when to live to fight another day, and he knows when to attack. He's been a lot of fun to watch, and I'm very proud of him.
You talked about him, his kind of competitive nature, Buck. We always talk about guys, you know, pitching in the American League East and whether, you know, whether everybody's suited to pitch in the division. Obviously, he's made a choice to come back. You know, he'd escaped, and now he's back in the AL East. Does it take a certain kind of guy, though, to pitch in that division?
Yeah, you know, let's face it. He wouldn't have come back there for less money, okay?
Yeah.
It had a little something to do with it. But I also think that you know, sometimes we think we have a corner in the American League East. When I was there, on it's competitive everywhere to some extent. But, you know, he's leaving a non-DH league and coming to a DH league. There's a lot more strain on pitchers, even though everybody might have the DH. But I think as long deals go with pitchers, you know, he's a pretty good bet that he's going to be competitive during the course of that contract. If you know, most of them, you hope you get 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. But with Kevin, Kevin's going to figure out a way to survive. He's always been a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Apparently the Mets were very much interested in landing Kevin Gausman, and he ends up as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. Mets get Max Scherzer. And I know your name has been bandied about around the New York Mets. They're in need of a manager. So that being said, you also worked under an owner that was very outspoken and very active in his management of the baseball team, talking about George Steinbrenner here. I wonder what the challenges are associated with that when you have an owner that's so actively involved in the organization, Buck.
Well, you know, first of all, I didn't know which owner you were going to say. It could have been Peter Angelos. It
yes.
could have been Tom Hicks. It could have been Jerry Colangelo.
Good point.
You know, that's part of the job description. They own the club and they care. I'd rather have an owner engaged in it. And I used to, you know, Mr. Steinbrenner was always wanted to win every day, willing to do what it took. And you know, you welcome that. Hey, they own the club. And, you know, the fans and people don't want to hear you complain about it. It's part of the job description. And, good managers welcome that added scrutiny because they have confidence in what they do and what they're bringing. And they want the owner to be involved so they can see, and there would be trust there. The great situation, there's a real connection and trust between the owner, the general manager, and the manager. And if you have that, you have a chance to have success.
What is the most important element of managing in this era? Because, yes, it's evolving. I understand that, and it's not like a manager is just a figurehead right now, but there is a lot more that goes into, you know, managing in 2021, 22. Than did 5-10 years ago, I imagine, as far as the information that you're given and maybe the game plan that you're given going into a game. Like I'm always trying to parse what is more important, the actual in-game element of managing in this era of baseball, or is it the actual managing of the personalities and, you know, seeing the same 26 guys in the clubhouse daily?
Well, that's you know, the easy answer is both, but you know, there were analytics in different forms, you know, for the last, ever since I've started, but just, you know, it's always what you wait and what you choose to embrace. And, you know, I think one of the manager's jobs is to make sure that every department, so to speak, feels comfortable about sharing what they bring and bring what you bring. And as a manager, every situation is different. You're not there to have them adjust to you. You adjust to the needs of your players, something that Charlie does very well there in Toronto. And I'm a big fan of Charlie's and the way he goes about his business. But there are times during the season when the teleprompter breaks, where the script doesn't fit. You know, you've got some game scripted, and all of a sudden the guy that's supposed to throw an inning can't get out of that inning, or supposed to throw two innings and can't get out of those two innings. Well, then what do you do? Somebody gets hurt in the second inning. What do you do? You know, I think that's where good managers kind of cut their teeth, as they're prepared for the what-ifs, and they understand that when the script breaks and there's not a teleprompter there, you better be able to function.
No, that's a great point. Hey, Buck, we appreciate the time. Thanks for taking time for us today.
Well, tell Kevin I said hello. You got a good one there. You guys will like him. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Buck.
It's a great town. God bless you. See ya.
Thanks, Buck. See ya. Buck Showalter, MLB Network analyst, former Major League manager, star of Seinfeld.
I like that, and I like that. I like that analogy, though. They, when the teleprompter breaks, right? So, because he's Buck's also a media guy now, right? Like,
yes.
He knows what that means, right? So, yeah, you're sitting in the dugout saying, "Well, we'll get five from so and so, and then we're going to bring in this guy and this guy and this guy." This is the way people fans manage at home, right? And then, hang on a second, the guy who's going to go five is only going to go two. He's not feeling that great. He didn't sleep well last night. Hasn't got it today. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Right. And anybody can script a game.
And you may see Buck Showalter try to do that again in Major League Baseball this upcoming season, because he's been named as a potential fit there in New York with the Mets as the next manager under Steve Cohen. So yes, he was obviously going to tell me that working under some very vocal billionaire is a fun thing to do, and you want it.
Well, it's a pretty good list, though. Like, I was thinking, you know, as he said that, right? Yes, he's not going to say, no way, no chance, my way or the highway. That's probably a bad way to approach a job. You would work. But, you know, Steinbrenner, Peter Angelos, Tom Hicks, who was, among other things, George Gillette's partner at Liverpool. I got to meet Tom Hicks up close. And who was the other one? You mentioned there's another owner there. In Arizona, right? So, it's those guys were, none of those guys are passive in the background, fade away kind of owners. And he has experience with those kind of guys. And he's done the media thing in New York, so he knows what that's like. I would think it's that decision will be very much in the hands of the guy who's on Twitter every day.
Yes, yes. And no, George Steinbrenner didn't have Twitter. Peter Angelos still doesn't have Twitter. So, that would be another element that Buck has not yet dealt with.
Correct.
But may. And, I think from an outsider's perspective that, the dealing with the media, that the communications element might be a little greater import than the in-game managing in 2021-22, which might, mean better things for Buck Showalter. So I mentioned this before we talked to Buck, that this new potential playoff format in Major League Baseball. And the idea of teams picking their opponents is super interesting, especially if there's like a massive discrepancy in record. Like if, you choose to get if you're the first selection and you won the American League East but didn't end up with the best record in the American League, and you choose a team from the American League Central or something that has 90 wins and ended up second. Like
bulletin board material.
That's interesting. So, it's something. It's not the first time I've heard this, but it seems like this is I can't imagine this not being it, because I've heard it so many times, and it feels like this the actual baseball rules, like the universal DH, the playoff format, it feels like that stuff will fall into place once all the financial stuff is figured out, that this is a winner for both sides.
Are those first round games, are they single game elimination, or are they two out of three?
No, they're three game series, all three of them in the home team's ballpark.
So you're
in consecutive days.
So there you
go. It's like a series, right?
Yes.
It's like it resembles a three game series in the middle of a season.
But it's not the crapshoot that is one game. So that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's going to be more postseason.
Yeah,
that's we saw it obviously in the shortened year. Postseason sells. Postseason's something that is popular with fans. It's popular with TV networks or content people, whatever you want. I know baseball has a reputation of being the most hidebound and traditional of all sports, but Like a lot of that stuff's good. Once we have the universal DH, and presumably this new collective agreement, I think a lot of that's gone. I think they're going to start operating like other sports, more like other sports. Like there isn't that much difference now between baseball and other sports, but the postseason, the limited postseason in baseball after a very long regular season is the big one. And none of these proposals seem to include going to 154 game regular season yet, which would make sense. And again, historically, that's where they used to be.
Yeah.
No real reason to play 162, but except for inventory. Mm-hmm. But I think more fall baseball kind of serves the business interests of baseball, and I think kind of serves the fan interest, to be honest.
It does. It'll just be different because, there's a lot of Blue Jays fans who, there were some pretty good teams in the 20-plus years between playoff appearances, but they had no chance.
Correct.
Because, there was only one wild card at the time, and you played in a division where it seemed like no one other than the Yankees or Red Sox was ever going to get out of it. Eventually, that flipped on its ear, but it really did feel like you were banging your head against the table year in, year out, no matter what hope you had and how much money was spent and how many BJ Ryans and AJ Burnett you had.
That's the only year when they tried that, of all those years, really, wasn't it? And that didn't go so. I know that didn't go
no,
so well.
No, BJ Ryan was good, but BJ Ryan was good. Okay, yeah. He was, and people forget how good he was until
he wasn't.
Until his elbow exploded, and the general manager took a while to tell us the truth about it for some reason, which was a head scratcher in the moment. But it's just going to. There's a reason why. And maybe it's a little stupid that you get a champagne celebration after making the playoffs in Major League Baseball because it's very difficult and you play every day and it is an accomplishment. But I think so. One, that gets diminished a little bit, but the expectation level of making the playoffs obviously is going to be, if you're a team that has any effort level, and who knows, maybe the CBA will make it so that more teams are trying.
Yeah.
But as in the current climate of the American League, and you're not one of the seven teams that make the playoffs, like that's a big strike against you.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be diminished amount. So we're going from 5 to 7, essentially, right? So so it's not a huge difference, right? It's not like you're watering this down. This isn't like the days when in the NHL, more than half the teams made it, right? Yeah. Like it's
So the Blue Jays would have been in, and who would have been the other team this year? Seattle. You're right. And it would have been Oakland, but they fell off at the end. So it would have been the Blue Jays and Seattle.
And Seattle haven't been in the playoffs ever, forever. That would have been a good thing for them, right? That would have been a good thing for that market. They would have been an interesting team. I'm not sure that would have made things less intriguing in October. I don't know. I'm all for it. Look, I'm all for
you're an inclusive person.
Well, I just think there's no really good argument against it.
Here's the argument. Is that the Blue Jays are now finally good enough to be winning the division and not even need the back door of the wild card, and then we're going to enter a year in which everybody makes the playoffs.
Well, no, but they'll get to pick somebody then. They'll get to
The bar will be winning the American League and getting that bye.
Yes, and they get to pick some weakling and humiliate them, right, and bring them here for a 3-game series. Talking points, I stuff to talk about. A little more juice. Right. I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Fine.
With tradition. And, again, let's realign. Let's realign the leagues.
Oh,
I'm with you on that one.
Oh, that seems like a no-brainer. Realign the divisions. And then I don't know if we want to go to a balanced schedule, but, if you're playing against all these other American League teams who get to play, the Royals and the Guardians, 38 times, and you got to go through the juggernaut that is the American League East. That doesn't seem necessarily
fair. Well, yeah,
because
you would say it's cyclical, except it's not, right? The cycle in the American League East doesn't, although the Orioles have, Buck Showalter's Orioles have cycled below zero for quite a while now. But the last moment of glory, Buck Showalter here, 2016, welcome. You didn't ask him about that.
It's not the first time I've talked to Buck Showalter, and if you're wondering where the Zach Britton question was, I've already asked it to him. I'm not going to ask him every time about Zach Britton and Ubaldo Jimenez, okay?
I think you should ask him every time. see if he keeps coming on the station.
See if he's paying attention to who keeps asking him to speak on the radio and whether he picks up his phone next time. Yeah, no.
Until you get the answer you want.
No,
he didn't apologize or anything. Say, I made a terrible, terrible mistake.
And, no, what he did
do. It's a black mark in my career.
He was very cryptic about it. He said, there's lots of things that people don't know about that instance.
See, well, maybe Zach was, like I said, maybe he just wasn't feeling so good, right?
Maybe.
Or
sometimes managers know stuff we don't know.
Yep. Or, you know, maybe he just didn't want to use his closer on the road, even in an elimination playoff game. And maybe he thought Ubaldo Jimenez was going to get Edwin Encarnacion out.
Still might be proven right. Well, no, I guess he won't. No, that ball's not coming back from Eddie.
All right. We have 4 minutes to discuss the biggest news item outside of the Blue Jays signing Kevin Gausmus in the city of Toronto. Sports-wise, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs being the hottest team in the National Hockey League, yes, and tied on points for the most points in the National Hockey League. They've won 14 of 16. It's truly unbelievable. And I should actually do this exercise. Go back, listen to our podcast that day that they were 2-4-1, and that night went into Chicago to play a winless Blackhawks team.
Yes.
They were down 2-0. My dad called me and said, this is the nadir of my watching this team. And since then, they haven't lost since. They've lost twice since then. They've literally become the best team in the National Hockey League since going down 2-0 to the Blackhawks in 2-4-1, and it was crisis town.
Doesn't matter who's in the lineup around the edges. Doesn't matter who's in goal. No,
Joseph Woll.
Your guy, Joseph Woll.
It doesn't matter that he has got a career 730 save percentage in the American League or whatever garbage number it is. 3-0 with a save percentage of 939 with this Toronto Maple Leafs team.
You saw
team.
It coming. Well, you're the only one who saw it coming, so I'll give you credit. Yeah, and, you know, look, I know, you know, California hockey is not quite what it once was. Like, it's not exactly where the powers of the league reside. But I'll tell you something. Going out on that West Coast road trip, mm-hmm, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why teams don't just sweep those road trips, right? It's, you know, the travel, but sometimes the distraction and sometimes sunshine. And
Bieber was watching the game in L.A., but they didn't hang with him.
No, they kept their heads down. You know, they were good, honest workers through that whole thing and really didn't break a sweat in some ways winning those four games.
Didn't trail once.
Yeah.
No, it's unbelievable. And yeah, and Luke Fox wrote about it today on Sportsnet.ca, the thing that I brought up a week or so ago about if you were one of those regular season nihilists. If you were the person that said, wake me the middle of April and May, and if we get there, and that'll be, then you can prove that you're worth something. But none of this matters. Okay. Yeah. Good for you. This is a real test of that, though. This is, you are really being pushed to your limits, because this team, in just about every metric, is performing well. And they're not as lucky now, because like about a week ago, their shooting percentage was very low. And their PDO, which is an advanced stat that's not that advanced. Basically, just you take your shooting percentage.
A primitive advanced stat. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You add your save percentage to your shooting percentage, and if it's 1,000, you're getting what you should be getting. If you're low, you're unlucky. And if you're above, you've been very lucky. They were unlucky. Now they're achieving what they should achieve as far as the advanced stats, is one of the best teams in the National Hockey League.
I will say a non-advanced thing here, then, which is that the game they're playing right now, the way they're playing right now, is a game that should play in April and May and June, right? The style they're playing, the way they're winning games, the efficiency, the goaltending, the defensive responsibility, the you know, and the talent up front.
Yep.
Like, that. There's no reason. This doesn't look like, you know, wintertime stuff that you can't translate.
And the
famous
special
last
teams.
Words, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
And special teams.
Well,
yeah.
I know. And yes, and the pessimist, which I'm trying not to be, but the pessimist would say this is all leading to an even greater heartbreak. Like, you thought it was heartbreaking to lead the Montreal Canadiens by 25 points, go into a playoff series, be up 3-1 and lose in 7 games. Wait till you see them win the President's Trophy and then go out in 4 to Tampa, who's a wild card team or something. So yeah, that could be could be around the corner too.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
But all indications are good. So enjoy while it lasts, Leaf fans. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. This has been the Fan Drive Time, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.